So I had an accident and I busted in this girl. So I had ordered this Plan B on Amazon. Shout out to Amazon. It was like a bootleg Plan B. It was like $7. Ordered it on Sunday, got here Monday, but apparently it got lost in the mail room. So now I'm scrambling because I only have 72 hours from Sunday morning, Saturday night-ish, depending on how you look at it, to get this Plan B to make sure I don't have a child with this woman. And so this morning I woke up and I'm like, okay, I have to order Plan B right away. Ordered it right away, got it sent to my office at work. So I know for sure where it's going and I know for sure I can go out there and get it. So boom, order it comes, pause. I pick it up. And what do you know? I have the Plan B. Yes, I ain't got to worry no more. Tell me why I fucking get back to the crib. I walk inside. The building manager comes up to me and goes, oh, you had a package here for you. He hands me my package, unopened, and it so happened to be a Plan B. So I say all that to say, I now have an extra Plan B, meaning I have an extra nut I can use.
Like a in Mario, you have an extra life. Just
Yeah.
ding, one in the back pocket.
One in the back pocket. Yeah, I have another life.
There was no warm up at all for that. You just jumped right into that story. And it was about Plan B. So there was a part of me for the first 10 seconds of that story. I'm like, am I watching his recording of him talking about Plan B like 3 months ago? Because that would be hilarious. No, it's just the same story, told a very, like, just a much better way this time. At least you were prepared ahead of time now.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Better to have and not need than to need.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Don't get it twisted. I'm cracking the bottle open for that already.
You know what? Let me go grab my
I was just
You
gonna
settle
start
the
drinking
before.
just in the middle of that story, like, oh boy, I don't know how this is gonna end. The fact that you started with this story made me think this had a very different ending where you did not get that Plan B on time. So I'm glad that it went the way you wanted it to go.
Speaking of which, she's coming to pick it up. She said it'll be here in 5 minutes.
Oh, you're gonna have to take a little break.
Should I make her eat it on camera just to make sure she eats it so I have documentation of it? Or just at least make sure she's, you know what I'm saying, being
I
recorded.
mean, that would be a first for the show. I'm gonna leave that one to you because that seems like an issue for an HR department that we still don't have.
Yeah, Colleen, do you hear that? You're not part of our HR department. Fuck you.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh my God, dude. Your life is just, it's always something wild. I never know what's gonna happen, but it's always a good story afterwards.
Man, that's life in general, man. Gotta love it. Don't know what's coming. Pause.
No, clearly you do. Oh man, I shouldn't even ask you how your weekend was. Clearly you had a great weekend. Oh my God, I can't even laugh, bro. I'm like 80% ramen right now. Oh my God, my guts. I ate that whole bowl, bro.
Nice.
Whew, whew. I got the meat
Added meat
sweats
to
right
our
now.
bowls. You said what?
So I got the meat sweats. I mean, both kinds, really. Where's your microphone? There you go.
Right here. Is
Might
it?
want
I
to
set it
use
on my
that.
desk. I set it on my desk because I was about to drink.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. Yep. I
What
popped the bottle open.
is that bottle?
Douce. This is the last
Oh,
one in
the
my
Douce.
cup. I got a shot left
Yes.
in me.
Okay. Well, cheers to you.
Cheers, y'all.
But you gotta speak into the microphone so we can all hear you.
Ooh, cheers, y'all.
There you go.
Ooh, that brown liquor hit different on a Tuesday.
Oh my God, it's only Tuesday. Oh man. This has been the longest week of my life and it's only Tuesday.
Bro, we're supposed to have a snowstorm tomorrow.
Yeah. That's the thing about the Midwest though. They'll go, oh, it's a snow advisory, winter storm warning, and like it could be anywhere from 6 inches to 36 inches of snow. And you're like, and then we get like two. So I'll believe it when I see it, because it's been a little dry up here the last few years. I was just talking to the wife yesterday about that. I'm like, the kids got these sleds. They're like a really nice sled that looks like a snowmobile. I don't know what the fuck you call them, but they're really nice. And they're still in the box from like 3 years ago because we've had no snow for the kids to even use them. So they're just staring at them. Dad, can we open it now? I go, what are you gonna take it on the street? Like, there's nothing out there. It's
Look outside.
concrete. Look outside. There's grass. And it's February. So, no. Probably try to fucking sell these things. But with the snowstorm tomorrow, maybe tomorrow's the day. We'll see. I don't know.
Do
But
the kids have school?
as of now, yes. I know a lot of the areas a little more south from here, they already canceled their school and shit. And I'm like, man, I remember when I was back in school, like we had to fucking claw for a snow day. You got like one a year. Man, they didn't cancel school for shit. I'm not gonna be the boomer and say like, oh, I had to drudge, 30 yards through the snow and walk a mile up the hill when it's all snow. Like, I didn't do all that to get to school. I had a school bus like everybody else. But like, yeah, I remember always waking up, looking at the news at like 6 in the morning, thinking like, hey, maybe my school is gonna be on there. And it would literally be every fucking school district but mine would cancel. And I go, motherfucker. So I don't give a fuck about your snow days. Y'all soft these days.
Man, we were watching that shit like the NFL ticker on draft day.
Woo! Absolutely. Oh, so accurate. Just praying that it would be that your school would show up on there, and it never fucking happened. It happened like once, and I didn't even know what to do it myself. But like, that take me back to those days, man.
Swear.
Speaking of meat sweats, it's my 11th year anniversary with the wife coming up this weekend.
Oh, that's when you really gonna get your meats.
Hey, so we're going to Chicago. Take a nice weekend down there.
Oh
We've
yeah.
got a nice hotel downtown. Gonna
Nice.
relax, hot tub. It's a legal state too, so you know that's going down. And then, get some dinner. And Saturday, gonna go see Taylor Tomlinson, the comedian, at the Chicago Theater. We're both big fans of hers. We watch After Midnight every night. Hilarious fucking show. So she's great. Very much looking forward to seeing her live and in action. So that'll be fun. And then, who knows what the night brings us? Maybe a jazz club, maybe a diner. Who knows? Maybe a back alley gambling, throw some bones. Who knows? It's Chicago. You never know. It's Chicago. So
It's the shy.
yeah, that'll be nice. 2.5 days, no kids. Good
Oh,
food, good times.
you said no kids?
Course not, sir. Not the wedding anniversary.
Ooh,
No. They'll be a grandma all weekend.
grandma would love that.
Absolutely. Can't fucking wait. So that's my plans. But I don't know about yo ass. If you got plan B things going on.
My plans, man, I'm just
You've
gonna watch NBA All-Star Weekend. That's all I'm doing.
been in like an NBA like cave. Like I know you're a big basketball guy, as if we didn't know that on the show. But lately, I think you've been like real dialed in. Probably because the Pistons are finally good. So now you're actually
That
watching.
has a lot to do with it. That has a whole lot to do with it. I'm not gonna lie to you. But also I feel like there's a lot of things going on this season, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talent in the NBA now, and I'm really starting to see that talent finally flourish, because I've seen this talent come in, young pups.
Pups,
So
yes.
being able to see them develop and stuff, I just appreciate the game. This is a very exciting time for people like me who are just straight up basketball nerds.
I wish, as much as I want to be like the old hardcore basketball fan like I used to be, like it just, I don't know, man. I think I might be too old. I'm too much of an old head now, and I just keep going. All the three pointers and no one fucking hitting the paint anymore. No one grinding for it. It's all just, I don't know. It's more of a circus now. Not trying to badmouth the game or anything, but it's hard for a casual to get back into it now unless you look at all the young talent. But the game itself is just, it's changed so much that I don't know. I might have aged out of it, So
I
I'm
think,
trying, but my team's also sucking don't help either.
well, I mean, well, the Knicks are third in the East.
Go Knicks.
But if you don't like 3-point shooting, you should watch the Pistons.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
not lying. They don't, well, they do shoot threes.
Like they can't shoot
No,
threes.
they can,
They can.
they play in the mid-range because of Cade Cunningham, and that's what his strength is. And Cade is one of those old school ballers in that respect, where he doesn't settle for three.
Yeah.
You just got, man, watch a Piston game and you'll be like, wait, they actually play a little different. Because I'm not lying, the Pistons play different from every other team in the league.
Right. Well, that might be what I'm missing then, because that sounds like what I used to watch.
Man, Cade's in the mid-range. They're sharing the ball, they're playing hard, they're diving on the floor, they're hustling. They're playing as a unit, and that's what makes it very exciting for a Pistons fan, because we get very reminiscent of the 04 squad and then the
Yeah.
Bad Boy, where we just got a bunch of dudes nobody wants, nobody likes, but they fuck with each other and they're gonna fuck whoever they're playing up.
Right. I dig that. I like that. I feel like that's Detroit every sports team in Detroit, honestly. It's always the Island of Misfit Toys,
that's
you know, just
our identity. You know what I mean? Just like how the Bears Chicago, they had their identity. This is our. And I'm glad that we found it again, because the identity should never change.
No,
the parts
I don't think
might
so.
Change, but the identity will never change.
Right. I agree. That's how it should be. The Bears need to find their fucking identity too, but I'm hoping we're on the way there.
We'll
but
get there.
You
we'll
know,
get there.
I think we'll get there.
It's turning into an offensive identity.
Fucking finally.
They went away from the steel toe boots and the hard hats, and now they're picking up the loafers and the tuxedos. You know what I mean?
The loafers with no socks.
With no socks.
Yes.
And
yes.
The cropped pants.
Exactly. Yes. I love that look, man. Now that I've done that look, I'm like, I can't go back. I can't go back, man.
But I don't mean to interrupt the show. I got to go.
Your girl here? Do your thing. I'll be here sipping. Oh, man. Well, I mean, he's going to do that. So I'm going to start the show already, since he can't yell at Kalina to hit the music. So, yo, Kalina.
Hi, Siege. How can I help?
Hi. Can you please start the music and understand that we appreciate you very much? Rizzy won't say it out loud, but we appreciate everything you do for the show. So if you could kindly start the music and let's get the show on the road, I'd appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Maybe try not asking like a beta next time. Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Fake Bros.
How'd it go?
Oh, it went good.
Yeah? Everything consumed appropriately?
Oh, it was consumed appropriately. Just waiting for it to digest and get ready for the next one.
Did you, like, stand there and watch her digest it?
You know, you can't really hound a woman like that. You know
what I mean? That's I was like, what
I was just,
are we doing?
Like it was more like a, here you go. It'd be nice if you just ate it right now. Here's some. And, you know, you sit back and start talking about your day. Yeah, so, you know, I'm currently recording my podcast right now. Yeah. So you're busy? Yeah, I'm actually pretty busy.
Right.
Yeah, so you might as well shove that shit down your throat right now. Like, my
dick down your throat. Dude said, wow. The less talking, more ingestion. Oh, my God. On that note, this is the Bank Bro Show. We already started the show without you, and we did it in a very pleasant way. No arguing allowed. So it was great for once. That guy's Rizzy. My name is Siege. And Kalina is our assistant, even though he won't even admit that. So we are happy to have you back on the show. Thank you very much for...
Assist.
Assist, yes. Well, either way, we appreciate you hitting that play button and spending some more time with your boys. Because we have a lot to talk about. A lot of shit happened culturally in the last few days here that I am so excited to get into a conversation about tonight. Because, like, I'm not even going to say living under a rock this time, because literally everyone in the world was watching this game. The Super Bowl has come and gone, pun intended, this past weekend between the Eagles and Chiefs. We talked about it last week on the show. And in case you missed results or you left after the halftime show, the Dynasty will officially have to wait, as the Eagles have won the Super Bowl after absolutely demolishing Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I just wanted to get into that game a little bit with you, but then we're going to talk about, of course, the big elephant in the room, which is, of course, the halftime show. But before any of that, I just want to give a big shout out to my man, Vic Fangio. Woo! Defensive coordinator for the Eagles put on a masterclass against Mahomes. Eagles ended up sacking Mahomes 6 times on 0 blitzes. That is bonkers. Rushing 4 all night. Wreaking havoc. Josh Sweat had an amazing game. Cooper DeJean is a fucking star. Just, my God, this, for all you people out there, and I felt really good about this, for everyone who gave the Bears shit that they should have took Mahomes over Trubisky, it wasn't about Trubisky. I want you to know that. It was, this is the Mahomes you would have gotten if he was a Bear. This is what it would look like. So you can play the what if game all you want, but without the kind of team he has around him, you get this Mahomes if he had Chicago's offensive line. He was running for his life. He had no time. His line let him down. But it's not like they weren't playing hard. The defense was just that fucking good in this game. They turned up all the intensity. Just such a good game for that defense. And then, of course, the offense for the Philadelphia Eagles did what had to be done. Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP, proved the doubters wrong for himself. And I respect that. The one guy who I thought was going to go crazy in this game was Saquon Barkley, and he honestly didn't. He got a little neutralized. He cost me my own parlay, which that was a $10 bet that would have got me $1,200. All I needed was Saquon and, like, one more good Kelce catch. That was it. Eight-player parlay, and Barkley's the one that cost me. But he got me a fantasy championship this year. I still am very, very happy. I said, go Saquon, and no one else. I kept that same energy for the whole game. He got his, and I respect that shit. So congrats to the Eagles. I wasn't rooting for you. I was definitely just rooting against Kansas City. But this proved that was the blueprint to take care of an offense, like an Andy Reid offense. Vic Fangio is your guy. And all the haters in Miami who ran his ass out of town because he coached the players too hard. This is what happens when you're a good coach. You get the job done and everyone goes, holy fuck, how did anybody let him go? Bears included, trust me. I miss him every day. So go Vic, go Saquon. Congrats, Eagles. What do you think about the game, sir?
Man, first and foremost, the Eagles defense hit the Kansas City Chiefs with the spirit bomb using the energy of every NFL fan base located outside of Kansas City. Just give me your energy and just drop that motherfucker all over the Chiefs.
Amazing.
What? They took six sacks? They took six sacks from the Eagles.
That's going to be one of those nights.
Six sacks right on their foreheads. Just there bam, 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 bam. Just
wow.
All over that bitch. The defensive line for the Eagles were taking control of this entire game.
Yes.
They caused every turnover, even the interception. They forced Pat Mahomes to get rid of the ball earlier than what he wanted to. And Pat Mahomes put the ball into some bad spots. Eagles defense were to capitalize on that. They really won the game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I know Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl MVP. No one's going to dispute whether he deserved that or not. But if it was up to me, I would give the Super Bowl MVP to that entire defense. Probably one big trophy to Vic Fangio.
Yes.
Because, man, defense wins championships, and they just proved it again on Sunday night.
Mm.
And then offensively, shout out to Devontae Smith, man, becoming the first Alabama player ever to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Nice.
First Alabama player ever.
That's kind of wild.
A touchdown. First ever.
Right. Like, it's Alabama.
Julio Jones, no, he didn't score. Calvin Ridley, no, he didn't score either.
Wow.
All the other Alabama players before that didn't score either. Even the defensive players.
That's crazy.
So shout out to Devontae Smith and my man, A.J. Brown, showing Woo! Once again he is a matchup nightmare because of his size and speed combination. Pause. He had a touchdown, but he could have had two. There was a goal ball that Jalen Hurts actually got picked off on because of the pressure from the Kansas City defense. The Kansas City defense, shout out to them, though. They were trying to do everything they can to put themselves in a position to give the offense shots to put the ball into the end zone. Offense just let them down. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's what it came down to. We've been saying that the entire season. This isn't the same Mahomes. Statistically, it's like a second worst season ever. I felt fraud was going to happen. They just needed a buzzsaw to run into.
I felt as if the refs were going to look out for the Chiefs.
Oh, we all thought that.
And I thought the Chiefs were going to win that way. And this is what happens when the refs don't look out. But, you know, I've seen a lot of – this is my last point, Mike. I've seen a lot of narratives surrounding Pat Mahomes and his legacy after the Super Bowl. And I just want to say Pat Mahomes is still the greatest quarterback to ever play this game. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Who has accomplished what Pat Mahomes has accomplished by this age?
Let's say before 30, nobody.
Nobody. So one bad Super Bowl, cool. He didn't play well. That doesn't change the fact that he's still more accomplished than your favorite quarterback at that age.
Right. He still has never not been in an AFC championship in his entire career. He's only gotten championships. Only. So it's what, 7 years now down? So
yeah, he has three rings.
Yeah, that's bonkers. That's bonkers. So
He's 3-2 in the Super Bowl.
Yes, correct. So five Super Bowl appearances before 30. That's banana sandwich.
Pretty fucking good.
Yes, I'd say so. I am somebody who will still hang Brady's legacy over him, but do I think Mahomes can and will overtake Brady? Yes. Yes. Because unless he stops himself, because I've mentioned before where I feel like the trend of football players retiring early is going to start happening a lot more frequently. We'll see how long Mahomes lasts. Is he going to have the longevity of Brady? Fuck no. But he shouldn't. He shouldn't have to either. Brady is the old guard where you play for 20 fucking years. Fortunately for him, he hasn't had a lot of injuries. He had a really great offensive line keeping him propped up. But with Mahomes, it's like everyone's a businessman now. Everyone is thinking long-term futures. What's after football? He's very well set up with his State Farm, you know, shit and his shoe deals, all that shit. Like, Mahomes is set up where he doesn't have to have a 20-year career. He could do what Brady does in half the time, the way he's going. So I don't know if he's the GOAT yet, but damn, if he's not, the fact that he's already in the conversation says all you have to say. That's nuts to me. But
so I'm just curious. Yeah. You mentioned you'll still hang Brady's legacy. How much film are we taking into account? Or are we just basing this all off of just accolades?
You know it's just accolades at this point. Now, if we want to break down film.
No. See, that's where I got to draw the line. That's where I got to draw the line, because we have to take into account film and accolades.
Of course.
Well, that's about the greatest.
I haven't seen all the film.
That's why Mahomes is the greatest. He can do things Brady can never dream about doing.
Oh, that's for damn sure.
And for damn his sure. Numbers at this age blow Brady's numbers out of the water.
True.
So he has the stats. By this age, he has the accolades. By this age, his film is more wow, eye popping. By this age,
true.
In my opinion, he is the GOAT. It's just a matter of time for people accept that. Just like how I felt about LeBron James,
right?
It's just a matter of time for people accept it. It's just people don't want to accept it because they're so used to, like you said, the old guard. And
I would also say for me, it's I am not someone who likes to put GOAT labels on people who are still playing the game. Like, I like looking back and then looking at both careers side by side and saying, okay, cool.
But
no, go ahead. Your face says it all.
I hate that argument.
Yeah?
Because everyone who says that proclaimed Jordan as the GOAT before he retired.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
No, I'm just thinking. I'm thinking. I don't know if it's invalid.
Because you proclaimed Jordan before he retired as the GOAT, didn't you?
Right. But here's the
Boom.
Thing. Hang on, though. That's a very good point. With Jordan, though, number one, who else was on that level at the same time?
Whereas, mean who else couldn't go left? The entire league.
The left thing. It's always the left argument with you.
Skills. Like, if we talk about the game, we got to talk about skills.
Right, but we talked about that before, though. Remember we said, like, you are basing new age skills off of old age tape, which one can go left. Because no one tried to go left back then. He kind of changed it up. The same way Steph changed things up with being a sharpshooter. All of a sudden, the game changed. Like, it's hard to compare Jordan when he's being Jordan, like, during his career. Yes, you had Barkley, Olajuwon, you know, all the stars that were, like, surrounding Jordan. There was still a clear divide. With LeBron, I would say, if I was not a casual basketball fan, I would agree with you. If I was watching LeBron's whole career, front to back, and looking at all the other stars around him, yeah, there's a clear divide there. But I also wouldn't be saying he's the GOAT right now. I would say the same thing is, let's see how it all ends. LeBron and Jordan are a much better GOAT conversation, in my opinion, than Brady Mahomes yet. That's all I'm getting at. Mahomes is so young. It's hard to crown him yet.
But
that's the only problem again.
But his accolades already rival Brady's.
Okay, with that argument, let's say Mahomes retired today. You're saying he's already better than Brady with only the few rings he's got, not seven.
We talk about three like it's only three rings.
No. Of course it's not. I'm not belittling.
So terrible. He only has three rings.
Come on.
Bro,
come
on, man.
I prop Eli up with two. I prop Eli with two. It's not about
he's
that.
He's definitely the best if he retired today. He'd be the best quarterback of all time. Rings don't matter. Let me tell you why. If Jordan's the greatest, how many rings does he have?
Yeah, six.
Bill Russell got 12, so what's up?
Of course. Right. And people make that argument, is what I'm saying. And again, I never just base it only on the rings. But you can't discount them either, especially if there's 7-3. Like, come on. Like, now if he retired today, I'd be like, he's number two. not talent wise. I'm saying I think Mahomes is a much stylistically more exciting player than Brady. Brady bored me to tears. I couldn't stand Brady, especially when he was at the top of the mountain. I never claimed Brady was the GOAT until he was done. I said, fuck, he won his seventh one. I said, you really can't argue anymore. Mahomes, I'm reserving the space. I'm waiting to see how the whole career goes. Because if Mahomes ends up with eight, it's of course the clear GOAT. If he ends up with five, but like they're all spectacular ones, like, yeah. But I just feel it's an incomplete sample to say a definitive GOAT. Plus, like we said last time, I'm so tired of having to put the GOAT on somebody. Like, it's always a debate. All I'm saying for Mahomes versus Brady is I'm waiting for a little more. Just what else can Mahomes do now that he's had adversity? What's next? How does he bounce back? Does he shit the bed all next season? Then he doesn't look as good. The same way I said when LeBron is playing at 40, 41, 42. I'm like, how much more do you need to do to cement yourself? Like, or is it just diminishing returns? I just like larger – I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying I like larger samples before I have that conversation. It's still a little early for Mahomes for me because he's so damn young. He's still so young. He could still do a lot. He could get another three right now, you know? Different conversation. I just think it's a different animal than a Jordan-LeBron debate. There's only 17 games, you know? Like, that's hard.
We got a lot to get into today.
I know.
This is going to be my last point before we get off, because we can keep going on and on about this.
I know you would.
I just wanted to say, you say 3 and 7 is such a big difference, but I just wanted to remind you, 3 is closer to 7 than 6 is to 12.
That's a good point, too. Well, yeah, very true. Again, so, not discounting 3 whatsoever. Most quarterbacks can't even get 1. So 3 is insane before 30. I'm not diminishing it.
Most quarterbacks can't even get to the conference championship game.
Exactly. So trust me, I am not in any way diminishing Mahomes' accomplishments. All I'm saying is when you have someone like Brady who set the bar so damn high, not style-wise, the game manager. I was like, not style-wise.
Yes. Wait, how many Super Bowl MVPs does Brady have?
I don't know.
He doesn't have 7.
Definitely not 7. Mostly does he have, what, 2 or 3?
But guess who's 3 for 3? Patty.
Well, all great. Good. Not diminishing it. Let's see the rest of the career before I can crown him. That's all I'm saying.
All right. There we go. I can't say no more, Russ. I'm going to keep going. I have to end myself.
Oh, my God. Let's get to the big thing I want to talk about, not fucking Mahomes.
I want to talk about, actually.
Yes, I want to talk about the man sitting right behind your head there.
You mean the man at the garden?
The man, yes, that man. The man of the hour right now. Too sweet to be sour, as you would say. That is Mr. Kendrick Lamar, who had a divisive, minimum to say, Super Bowl halftime show. And I really want to know your opinions on all of it, because like I said at the beginning of the show, this has been a cultural event, to say the least. And people are so divided over this halftime show. Some loved it. Some are screaming it's boring and trash because it went over their head. Not like I'm surprised. Not surprised at all. Y'all were mad about Rihanna. Y'all were mad about Usher. Y'all were mad about Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Kendrick, and Mary J. Blige. I'm sorry. Y'all were mad about
50
all this
Cent
shit.
Was hanging upside down.
Exactly. So I'm not surprised that this went over people's heads and some people felt a certain way about that. But my thing is, a record-setting 133.5 million people tuned in for this halftime show, this one. So this halftime show had a bigger audience than the Super Bowl itself. So, of course, everyone's watching this shit. And I have one question. And it's not for you. It's just for those of you living under a rock, apparently. Do you not know who Kendrick Lamar is? I need that actually answered by some of our fans.
No, that's a legit question.
That's a legit. I'm so serious about that. I don't think half of you people knew who he was going into this. You maybe heard from your friends. Maybe you heard, not like us, because how can you avoid that song at this point? But you don't really know who the fuck he is. Like, you mean to tell me this many people watched his show? Look at that amazing album. That don't even get me started on that album. Y'all didn't know that he's a thought provoker? You didn't know that every part of this show, even without even seeing it, every part of this show was going to be a message. So what were you expecting? But before I get into any of that shit, I want to know your thoughts. I want to know how you took it, how you thought the show really went, you know, unbiased, because I know you're going to be unbiased. But give the fans what they need to hear. This is a little nuts.
Man, first and foremost, I just wanted to say this was the most cinematic performance in, man, Super Bowl history for sure. But in recent history, I'll bring it that far. In recent history, this is the most cinematic performance of all time.
Yeah.
This performance started out with Samuel L. Jackson dressed up as Uncle Sam. And if you know Samuel L. Jackson, see, this is when you have to kind of know your history.
Yes.
Have y'all heard of the movie Django?
Woo! Tell him, boy.
I need y'all to Google that and Google the role that Samuel L. Jackson played and how that affects the community of Black people.
Ugh. Yes.
Then you would start to understand, and then the dots will start to connect as to why Samuel L. Jackson was there dressed up as Uncle Sam, but not just that, but basically being a symbol for the government, which symbolizes authority and control, which is the exact system that Kendrick Lamar continuously rebels against in all of his albums, all of his music work. He always rebels against the norm, so to say.
Yes.
So I thought, for one, that set it off perfectly because I knew exactly where he was going. He was going to use this platform to make his social stance and start the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he said in the beginning. You are about to witness the revolution. Y'all chose the wrong motherfucker, the right stage. He warned y'all. And throughout the whole entire performance, I don't know if y'all heard, but if you go and depict the lyrics, for example, I'm not going to say too much because I honestly want to leave most of this for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is our show, bro. You say what you got to say.
But for this specifically, I want to leave most of this for you because I feel like you specifically could explain it better and you connect to it way more than I ever could.
Sure.
During the time when he was performing, what's that song with SZA? Basically, when SZA came to the stage.
Yes.
And, you know, after they performed, during the All the Stars performance, one of the lyrics in Kendrick's verse goes, he say, fuck all your expectations. Mm. I don't even like you.
Yep.
I want the credit if I'm winning or losing on my mama. That's the realest shit.
Oof.
And then when that scene ends, Uncle Sam, Samuel L. Jackson, comes back on the screen and he says, see, that's what we want. Nice and calm.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendrick Lamar immediately cuts him off and goes into Not Like Us. Just going right back to what Kendrick Lamar always does and rebels against the system. Because again, Samuel L. Jackson is representing the system. See, that's what we want. And one last point before I let you go, I just thought this part was interesting. In the middle of the performance, Samuel L. Jackson cuts off Kendrick Lamar again.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, nah, 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 it's too loud, too reckless, too ghetto. Mr. Too ghetto. Lamar, he said, Mr. Lamar, you got to play the game by the rules. And that made me think he's talking about Lamar Jackson.
Oh.
You know what they say about Lamar?
Mm.
Now, Lamar, that's hip hop's quarterback.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
be real. That's the culture's quarterback, man.
Of course.
The way he plays and everything, the way he carries himself. And so the dual meaning, the double entendre between Kendrick Lamar, Lamar Jackson, Lamar always rebelling against the typical quarterback that you see in a textbook as to how you should play.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Kendrick Lamar and the government. I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if people caught that.
I never put that together, but I'm like, whoa, that's actually, yeah. I like that. That's a good meaning behind that, if it is a double entendre.
Because why didn't he just say Kendrick?
He could have. Mr. And, you know, Lamar.
Kendrick,
yeah, it's,
you know, artists like Kendrick, like Pac, like Biggie, like Cole, like Nas, they're intentional with what they say. They don't say things on accident.
Oh, absolutely not.
So, man, overall, I thought the show was absolutely fantastic. I can go on and on about the little meanings behind it, the outfits, why the dancers were split the way they were. You know,
oh. Yep.
I'm pretty sure you're going to get into it. But man, I loved every bit of this. Such a powerful message. And he used this platform to the greatest.
I'm so glad you said that. I absolutely agree. And I'll start with this. Make sure my shit is clear for that shit. Let me start with this. For people who think that this is a bad halftime show, when we're talking about just straight NFL halftime show entertainment pieces, was it the greatest of all time? No. No.
I think so, but
that's fine. Some people think so. Some people think so. As someone who is a Michael Jackson guy, Prince guy, when it comes to Super Bowl halftime shows, the spectacle of it, no. Was it a top five for me? Yes. But absolute all-timer? No. But here's my thing. It didn't need to be. It wasn't supposed to be. This was not about entertainment. Yes, the songs are catchy. Yes, we all love Not Like Us. Come on. But this was supposed to be, like you said, a moment. Kendrick was here to meet the moment in history when our history and our country, without getting political, is making headlines in the worst way a lot in the last couple of weeks. When people who look like me and who look like this guy are little terrified, way more on alert, we don't know what the fuck is going to happen. So Kendrick is the voice of a generation and needed to be heard with his messaging. And this had the most eyes in the world watching him do it. So if you were one of those people where this all went over your head and you feel a certain way about it, that's the point. It's the whole fucking point. He is somebody, like I said, it's thought-provoking. He's somebody who's going to make you have a conversation. He's going to flip a lens on you and show you the shit that he's seeing. So why did you think otherwise? For people who thought you were getting Bruno Mars, just to put a name out there, this was not your show. And that's okay. I need people to unclench because he was a mumble rapper and I couldn't understand half of what he was even saying. You know, Google is a thing. You can literally look up his lyrics. His entire set list is open to the public. Look up the lyrics, read along, and then go back and watch it again. You will see the symbolism. The way that he structured this show, 100 front to back, was messaging. It was done in a specific way, in a specific order, to elicit a specific response from you. That was it. And if you didn't catch all that, that's not Kendrick's fault. It's not for him to create a show that is going to entertain everybody equally. That's not what it's about. It's the message that was about. That was it. And in my opinion, that message was loud and fucking clear at a time when, for the first time ever, a sitting president attended a Super Bowl. You got that show with Mr. Orange Man right in attendance. It was very intentional. He's always intentional. Kendrick Lamar does not bullshit around. He never has. But let me get into some of the symbolism, since a lot of people miss things. And again, I'm not somebody who's going to say, oh, well, you didn't get it, so clearly you're part of the problem. No, anybody can be educated. Anybody can have their opinions change a little bit. It's okay to not know the other side of the culture, but want to know more. You don't have to just dismiss it as like, oh, well, it's just rap. Like, what? But let's look at some of this. Right from the get-go, I love you brought up Sam Jackson because, number one, that's my motherfucking man. I love that man. Woo! And in the Django Unchained, he was a phenomenal role in that movie. But let me educate people a little bit. Like my man said, he was Uncle Sam. What he's describing as a sympathizer to a slave cause is called, in our vernacular, an Uncle Tom. So Samuel L. Jackson was playing Uncle Sam as an Uncle Tom. Mm-hmm. So that by itself is huge. On top of that, if you looked at the stage, you saw an X, you saw an O, you saw a square, you saw a triangle. Us gamers know that's PlayStation. Kendrick grew up loving PlayStation. Cool. But it also had a double meaning. For those of us who love Squid Game,
yes,
that's on there too. And if you know anything about Squid Game, that message is loud and clear too. We're supposed to be trying to eat the rich now. This is depicting how the rich, pretty topical right now, are practically siphoning off and doing whatever they want to our country and to our people, including Black people. Mm-hmm. They built all this shit on the backs of Black people. So he's standing in the middle of an American flag, mm-hmm, created only by Black people, because that's, yep, what the country was built on, were the, mm-hmm, backs of Black people and indigenous, yep, people. It's just the way it was. So that symbolic moment for me was right out the gate. I said, wow, that's a powerful visual. Cool. But then after that, he's down the street. His whole stage was one big flat rectangle because that was his Compton streets. That's all he needed. He didn't need all the spectacles of all this, you know, bunch of different artists helping with him. He says it was one thing, but like, this was him on the streets, something he's comfortable with, the symbolism that he got from Compton. That's all he's bringing to the table. It's simplified. It's dancing. So if you're looking at it and you're in the stadium looking down, yeah, it looks like a marching band, if anything. It doesn't have much to it. Camera, those at home, the camera angles really brought that shit to life. Every angle you had of him, He's in your face. He's right here with it. He's not bullshitting you. He's not insulting your intelligence. He's looking you dead in your eye when he's saying this shit. And if you're not getting it at that point, again, it's okay. But there's also other things that happen too that people are just divided about. For people who think, when he says, they're not like us, a lot of people I've heard even say, he's talking about white people. He's not talking about white people. He's talking about the same people he's talked about his whole career. Executives, the ones who control media, the ones who control his label, just everything when it comes to people in power. It doesn't matter what color they are. It's the people in power that don't give a shit about the people who put them in power, about the people who actually buy their products and help make them billionaires. They are not like us. And yes, that does include industry plants, rappers who are hiding a bunch of weird shit. We'll get into that in a little bit. You know, Drake. But that's the thing. It's not even just Drake. Anybody who Drake associates with might be someone on that side. So he's not talking about white people. So stop that bullshit too. There was one little thing that I noticed, and I don't know if anybody else did. Right before his whole thing started, he had a small sample of a song before he got into Squabble Up. And for those who don't know, you know, what's the song, sir?
You're talking about his song, right?
Or no.
The song he sampled or his song?
The song he sampled before his show started, right before he got into Squabble Up. Oh, it's real subtle.
It's hold up. I can't say it.
That's okay. It was Bigger Than Hip Hop by Dead Prez, who are a phenomenal group that I grew up listening to. But if you know Dead Prez, that's the same mentality. Dead Prez was all about censorship, like the radio controlling them, executives fucking up their whole shit. Like, you couldn't find Dead Prez on the radio. Their shit was too much for regular radio stations. But that same mentality, it's bigger than hip hop because that's what his show was. It's not all about just the music. It's not about Drake. It was about the messaging for the country, for the world. Really. But again, that was a subtle jab. I don't blame you for not seeing that shit. But I love the shit Samuel Jackson was saying, especially the learning the rules of the game, and that's of white America. Again, not just white people, but the people in power, their game. So the PlayStation Squid Game thing is a take on that as well. It's you're playing the game how they want you to play it instead of just doing what you want to do. And Kendrick has never been that guy. He's going to do what the fuck he wants to do. That's why we love him for that shit. So I dug that shit too. The dancers and all the red, white, and blue just was so good. The drums that you heard, they were fucking killing it. That's some of the best dance choreography I've ever seen. Powerful messaging. And then even at the end there, playing like, you know, the seeing Game Over in the stands, telling people to turn their TV off, turn his TV off, turn his TV off. That's all part of that shit too. How much is the media corrupting you right now? Mm-hmm. How much is the media juicing things up to divide us and conquer? Because as soon as we all get apathetic about voting and about what the people in power can do and we have no fucking say over it, they're waiting for us to crumble so they can announce a king.
Yep.
And Kendrick sees that shit. It's not just Kendrick, but he's the man of the moment right now. So yes, it was up to him to shine a light on all this shit. It's bigger than rap. It's bigger than Drake. I keep having to say it because we're not getting that. Every fucking thing I saw from comments that people didn't like it, they all said the same thing. Wow, he used a whole halftime show just to diss Drake. You saw nothing.
Got from it.
That's all you got from it. Like, what, man? Like, my goodness. Here's the thing about Drake. Here's the thing about Drake. Yes, he poked fun at Drake. That smile, what he said, say Drake. I've been doing it all day. Every time I see a mirror, I just go,
say Drake.
Say Drake. Yeah, okay. The smile like is going to, that's going to live in Drake's nightmares forever, is that fucking smile. The memes are already insane with that fucking smile. It was so good. But that was one small part of the show. And guess what? It was everyone's favorite part. Everyone in that stadium yelled out A minor after they did it at the Grammys. So Drake is in his feelings, and you know that. If you're a Drake sympathizer, okay, it's not a great week for you. But again, if that's all you saw, you missed all the symbolism. And there's a lot more we can analyze about that too, because his shit is, it runs deep. But I wanted to pick out one moment that people keep seeming to harp on, and I want your opinion about that. Serena Williams was shown as part of the show, and she was out there crip walking immaculately, by the way. Fantastic. And Serena Williams is drop dead gorgeous. So people had a certain feeling about that because Serena happens to be Drake's ex. So there's some pettiness that people think didn't need to be there. And she's actually getting a lot of flack for that now, too, including from people like Stephen A. Smith. And I want to read what Stephen A. Smith said about Serena Williams, because this made me almost...
I didn't hear it, so...
Oh, perfect! So, Stephen A. Smith said, if I'm married and my wife is going to join trolling her ex, then just go back to his ass. Because clearly you don't belong with me. Why are you worried about him and you're with me? Bye-bye. I want to know how you feel about Serena's involvement and if this is something where she's being petty or is she holding a torch, or is this a whole bunch of nothing like I think it is?
So this is, you brought this up at a great time, because you just got off of saying Drake was just a small tidbit of Kendrick's performance.
Yes.
I'm going to relay that point again. Drake is just a small tidbit of Serena Williams and what she symbolized during Kendrick's performance.
Thank you.
Yes, he's being petty. Yes, she's his ex. But did you know what? Where's she from?
Whoo! Compton!
What color is she wearing?
It's a little bit of blue there, I think.
West Side 60.
Thank you.
So it's not just about Drake. It's about her and who she is too, first and foremost. All right?
Thank you.
At the end of the day, she still had to say yes to coming on stage with Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it was about her. I also wanted to bring up the fact that she is a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Which everything that Kendrick Lamar is talking about, the recurring themes that we keep mentioning, rebelling against the system that puts you in power at the same time represses your power.
Mm.
Same thing can be said about Serena Williams, and Serena Williams can relate to that. And she's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Damn near the Kendrick Lamar of her field. So in my opinion, did it have to do with Drake? Yeah, but get I'll do you one better. They bringing that up. Why aren't they bringing up the fact that SZA is Drake's ex?
Thank you. I was just about to say it. He had two exes up there. Y'all didn't give SZA a damn thing about it.
Is Kendrick being petty with having both of them up there? You better bet your ass he is.
God, yes.
But that's only just a small tidbit of what they represent. What color was SZA wearing?
It's like a red.
Yes. Yes. And like I'll let burgundy. The audience digest that one as to why she was wearing red. I told you why Serena was wearing blue. Why was SZA wearing red?
But yeah, no, I totally agree with all that shit. And like when it comes to Stephen A. Smith, I'm just like, yo, how small of a man do you have to be to think that way? I don't get that mentality. Like, not to mention she's married long time now. Like, her husband clearly know, like when they got together, he knew about the Drake stuff. And not to mention, Drake talked shit about their family first. So we don't have to go there. But like, her husband knows the deal. It's not like she's out there holding a torch for Drake or has to be petty because she still thinks about him. Like, her husband is secure in their marriage. Everything's great. He's her number one supporter, and he always has been. So for me, I'm like, I don't see why her husband would have to feel threatened by her making that up. Why is this doing that?
Yo, I think they're listening to us.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. They're like, yeah, get these motherfuckers off the air.
You know what? If you guys are listening, man, fuck you guys.
Hell yeah.
I'll send Kalina after y'all.
There you go. Yeah, she can clean that shit up for us. But yeah, that's my thing is you don't have to be that small-minded about it. Clearly, he's supportive. And if anything, if this was a petty thing for her, don't you think that's closure for her? Wouldn't her husband want that for her so they can move on from this whole thing? So call it petty all you want, but don't come at her husband acting like he's some fucking beta for not keeping her from making an appearance. Like, it's Serena Williams. And also, for those who don't know, she tried doing crip walking at Wimbledon like 13 years ago. She tried it and she almost got fined and like let go for that shit. So like, she's always been about culture. She's representing her home. That's all it really is to it. It's not always about Drake. Get over that shit. But that shit drove me nuts. I heard that from Stephen A. And I was like, what the fuck?
Hey, if we want to talk about immature behavior, we have to talk about Drake. Because Drake sent a shot at Serena and her longtime husband now on his most recent album on the song Middle of the Ocean.
There you go.
Calling him a fucking fanboy. So I just find it ironic that Serena is basically being a fangirl on stage for Kendrick Lamar, crip walking to his shit. I just find that funny.
It's hilarious, man. So all that to be said, I think it went over the heads of people I'm not surprised it went over the heads of, but it doesn't have to be as divisive as you guys make it out to be. This is the show that we needed for this period in time in our history, and Kendrick was the man to do it. I think he met the moment. I fucking loved the show, and I was in a room at my house. We had a few people over. I think I was the only black guy in the entire room, and I was grooving. I was vibing the fuck out when he was doing this entire show, and everyone else is, you know, having a good time, but clearly I was getting the most out of it, and that's okay. I'm not gonna make people feel bad for that, but you couldn't stop my ass from fucking dancing in my living room when that motherfucker was on my TV. I was rapping to every song.
Facts. You know, it's funny you say that and have that story, because I have the same exact story or similar story. I was at my uncle's bar, bunch of Hmong people around. I'm the only one by the TV during the halftime show, just bobbing my head, just getting lit and getting jiggy. Everybody waiting for me to come take a shot. I'm like, bro, fuck that shot. I'm trying to watch Kendrick.
Exactly. The man's on TV. Exactly. Yeah. So I get all that. And for those who just didn't get it or don't want to get it, that's fine. Just don't be entitled to having a show. It's not fine. I hope that you would educate yourselves and learn a little bit more about what went over your heads or what the words you did understand. I would hope you
what's happening in the real world.
Exactly. You know, we talk about putting our heads in the sand. Maybe don't do that. I'm not going to use the word woke because y'all hate that shit. But pull your heads out of your asses and just look at a different culture and kind of open your eyes a little bit. That's all you have to do. It doesn't take much effort. Yeah. But at least don't be entitled. Don't feel like this has to be a show for you. This show wasn't for you. And that's okay. Some people need to understand that not everything is about them. And if you really don't like it, when you guys put Kid Rock on or Morgan Wallen next year and we all have to listen to country music, I can go ahead and complain. I don't get it. I hate country. I don't want to talk about old horses and dirt roads and beer and dogs. Like, I can complain too. No. Or I can go look up his lyrics and see what he's about. Like, it doesn't have to be some divisive fucking thing. But I bet you that show won't make y'all motherfuckers talk about it anywhere near as much as this show did. And that's the fucking point. Ridiculous. Oh, one last point that I want to make about this. Today I learned something. The Super Bowl is considered a variety show. Do you know what that means? That means technically Kendrick can win an Emmy for this show.
You can rig the game, but you can't fake influence.
Oh, the man won 5 Grammys for one song. Watch him win an Emmy for this show. Ooh, y'all gonna be mad. Y'all gonna be so mad if he wins an Emmy for this. I really want it to happen. So that would put him almost half, I think it's halfway to getting like a Tony. And then what's the other one? You need an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. So he would probably be able to get like 3 or 4 of those and then just go on Broadway and put Not Like Us, the Broadway musical. And he's going to have all 4 awards. And then you're going to talk about him like he's an all-time Hall of Famer the way he's going to be. So y'all keep fucking around, but Kendrick ain't going nowhere. Mm-mm-mm. I put that on my mama. Anyway, let's get off the hot topic. So I'm getting all sweaty and angry talking about this shit. You got some NBA stuff I know you want to get into, sir. Hit the folks with what you got.
Yes, sir. I'm just going to blitz the folks with some NBA news because we all know the trade deadline has come and gone in the NBA. And first and foremost, we have to talk about the Dallas Mavericks because they are already regretting the Luka Doncic trade. Anthony Davis was absolutely balling in his debut, ended the game with 26 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 10 of 18 from the floor, hit 2 threes, but that came at an expense. He left the game early due to a non-contact hip adductor injury. And that leads me to question the Dallas Mavericks leadership as a whole. Because if you traded Luka Doncic because you were afraid he wasn't going to be on the court because he's fat and out of shape, why would you trade him for an injury-riddled Anthony Davis, who has been dealing with ankle, foot, and ab injuries since the 2nd of November of this season? You rushed him back early, and this is what you get. Oh, and you know what else you get? That was just a 4-piece combo. You feel me? I'll give you the mashed potatoes, the collard greens, and the cornbread right here.
Damn.
T.J. Washington on the injury report. Daniel Gafford out. Dante Exum out. Caleb Martin, who you traded Quentin Grimes for, out.
Woo!
Anthony Davis, obviously, out. Derek Lively out. So if you've done the math, four of your starting four big men are out. Oh, and then your fifth big man, Dwight Powell, he's out too.
Oh,
I just find it funny how everyone just so happened to get injured. Now, I think these are just the NBA guys. I'm not wishing injury upon anybody, but I think these are the NBA guys getting back at the Dallas Mavericks. And I just want to pose this question. Everyone on the Dallas Mavericks roster right now has a contract that ends in 2027. You can go ahead and look that up. And my question is, why 2027? Everyone they acquired has a contract that ends in 2027. Guess what's happening in 2027 in Dallas, in Texas? Sports betting could be a thing.
Ooh.
So is this a money move? Or is this team looking to really move to Las Vegas?
Ooh.
What is actually going on? What is the actual motive behind trading Luka Doncic? Because we all know it ain't got nothing to do with basketball. Because 25-year-old, 28-8-8, like what? Team three times.
Like what? What?
Doesn't even make sense.
No.
So Dallas Mavericks.
No.
I feel bad for your fan base, but fuck all the owners. Fuck everyone in leadership positions. That team, just fuck that team. Moving on, the Golden State Warriors, Jimmy Butler has proven so far to be a perfect fit alongside Stephen Curry.
Who knew?
He plays the exact opposite of Stephen Curry. Just think of Steph Curry the exact opposite. So think of like a bad guy that gets shit done and talks a lot of shit and cusses. That's Jimmy Butler. He's averaging 22-5-5 so far in his stint with Golden State with an average win margin of 17.5 points. So Golden State, look out for them. They can make some noise. Dennis Schroeder went to the Pistons. Hey, shout out to the Pistons, man. Just blew the fucking doors off of the Chicago Bulls today. Oh, my God. I mean, the Chicago Bulls had 31 points at halftime. Bullshit like that.
I'm 31 wearing a bear shirt.
At halftime. Anyway, Dennis Schroeder's fitting in perfectly, facilitating, defending full court, diving for loose balls. He got that Detroit spirit in him. Great pickup for us. And last but not least, the process is over in Philadelphia.
Thank
Trade Joel Embiid, PG-13, gotta go. Rebuild around Tyrese Maxey and Jerry McCain. To be honest with you, it just seems like Joel Embiid and PG are just in Maxey's way, kind of.
Yeah.
Stunting his development. Maxey's a stud. Build around him. Cut your losses. Process been over.
It's been over. It never really got started, if we're being honest. No. Not really.
I mean, low-key, it was over when Ben Simmons decided he didn't want to play anymore.
There it is. Yep. You built your whole future on that motherfucker, and yeah, it did not work out. And that's okay. But again, they just keep on trying to make it work, and it's like, you got to get rid of the elephant, man.
The Sixers built their future around him, but he built his future not around the Sixers.
Around the ladies. Oh, my God. I wish I could say I love loss for him, but I don't. Like, Philly did that to themselves, man.
I remember back in, like, 2011, 2012, they were losing on purpose.
Yeah.
So now they can lose on accident.
Either way, still taking L's. Yeah, so trade deadline was crazy. But now we got the All-Star game coming up. I know a lot of changes have happened. I'm not somebody who usually follows the All-Star game, but the changes to the formats have intrigued me. So how are you feeling about the All-Star game? And I know you have a fun activity for us to do as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, coming in to All-Star weekend before the draft and all that, I was actually really excited because I love the format. It was going to be still the East All-Stars and the West All-Stars. They're going to combine player pools. Charles, Shaq, and Kenny were going to draft teams of eight, and they were going to play, you know, a tournament-style game. Winner gets them, I think it was like $500,000 or $1 million per player or something like that.
Something like that.
But then as I was watching the draft, I realized all this shit was rigged.
Yeah.
They put all the OGs on one team. They put all the international players on one team. And they put all the young players on one team. As if that wasn't fucking obvious. And so I'm still excited, but it's not the same level of excitement because I thought the teams were going to have more variety. I wanted to see Shea play with like Cade Cunningham. I wanted to see Ant play with Kevin Durant. I wanted to see Steph play with Wemby. Like, I wanted to see these crazy potential teammates.
Yeah.
And
that's the whole point.
As a basketball fan, we're no longer getting that. It kind of sucks, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's still cool, I guess.
I mean, that's you're a bigger basketball fan. So, like, I don't know if that's genuine sadness or you're just like, Whatever, but we can still do your draft if you want to.
No, look, our draft is way more exciting because, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is how it's going to go down.
Okay.
CJ is going to be the owner and GM of one team. I'm going to be the GM and owner of one team. We're going to draft these players, eight players each, eight to a team, just like Charles, Kenny, and Shaq, snake style. So we'll see who gets to pick first, and then, you know, one, and then two picks in a row, and back to back, just like fantasy football.
Okay.
Now, here's the caveat. It's going to be a competition. Matchup by matchup, position by position. Point guard all the way down to center for our starters, and then three bench players. We're going to take the averages of their points, rebounds, and assists. Blocks and steals are not included. Average those up by the number of games that they played. Add those numbers together, and if those numbers are greater than their matchups numbers, that's a win for that GM slash owner.
I'm so glad you're doing all the math.
And that's one shot per matchup. So you can sweep the matchup and your opponent will have to do eight shots.
Good God.
And obviously I will do all the math because I'm the unofficial NBA statistician of the United States of America.
It shouldn't even be unofficial.
So, I mean, whenever you're ready, we can decide who to pick first, man. Again, let me break this down. We're going to go two guards, three front court players.
Okay. I like it.
We're going to go by what the NBA has them labeled by. I don't agree with most of it. I mean, not most, just a couple of it.
But sure.
We'll just go by what they have, and we'll go from there. How do you want to decide who picks first?
I can do a virtual coin flip.
All right, I'll pick Tails.
Flipping. It is Tails, motherfucker.
Perfect. Let me grab my ball. I already know who I'm picking first.
Of course he is.
All right.
You said three front court, two guard, or do you want eight players?
Yep. So our starters are going to be two guards.
Oh, bench players. Duh.
Three front court players, and then your bench players could be whatever.
Got it.
All right, man. So I'm going to jump this shit off right with my first pick in the 2025 Bank Bros All-Star Draft.
Woo, what a name.
Rizzy Snipem selects guard, first overall pick, Cade Cunningham.
I knew it. How did I know that was going to happen?
Give me the best guard in the NBA. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. He ain't the best guard in the NBA. He's the second best behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Am I biased? Absolutely. You better bet.
Maybe a little bit. Okay, so I get two back-to-back, huh?
You get back-to-back, man. I'm leaving you with a great slate of players.
I mean, pretty much all of them. Yeah, all right. I'm going to start this with a personal favorite. At guard, I don't have a fucking nickname. Hang on. Chocolate Thunder selects guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I love that man. I love the man.
Good pick. Good.
And then for my second pick in this draft, Chocolate Thunder is selecting LeBron James.
LeBron James. Okay, so you got Shai and LeBron James. Now I get two back-to-back.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. It's a guards league.
It is.
I'm picking another guard. Another former number one overall pick. Rizzy Snipem selects Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Okay, I have a draft. All right. With the third pick of the 2025 Bank Bros NBA All-Star Draft.
I say it every time.
Rizzy Snipem selects the number two overall pick in the 2007 NBA Draft. The greatest scorer of all time, Kevin Durant.
Ah, damn it. I knew you were going for him. I was hoping you would get cute about it and he'd fall to me, but that's all right.
Nope. I only got cute with my first pick.
Back.
Everything else is straight. Belt to ass.
Belt to ass. Okay. That's fair. All right. So two for me, huh?
Yes, sir.
Woo! Okay. With my next pick, Chocolate Thunder is going to select the front man himself, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, wait. He's injured, so pick someone else.
He's injured? Oh, no.
Yeah, pick someone else.
I take it back. Let's see. You know what?
He's injured and Anthony Davis is injured.
Damn. Okay. Give me Wemby. I will take Victor Wembanyama.
I knew you'd pick him, honestly. I didn't even write him on my draft board.
I just knew. I should not be that predictable or a sport I barely watch.
SGA for sure. LeBron, yeah, yeah. I was like, he might pick him because I'm not going to pick him first.
Right? Oh, no. And then after that, at guard, I am taking the one and only Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Don't get mad at that. Yeah, SGA, Steph, LeBron, Wim.
I like it.
Cade and KD. All right, man.
What you got?
I'm going to pick one front court player, and I'll probably, honestly, so my front court player, I will pick Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh.
Fuck, I didn't announce it.
Dude ran up to the podium.
I ran
up to the podium. Karl Anthony Towns.
All right. I'll announce this pick.
Gotta announce it.
With the fifth pick of the 2025 Bank Bros NBA All-Star Draft, Rizzi Snipem selects guard from the Milwaukee Bucks, Dame Dolla.
You suck. Already filling the bench up. Such a fantasy player.
It's a guard's game, man.
Katie it is. Game. You're not wrong. Okay. Ooh, this is tough now. Okay.
It gets slim.
You know what? I'm going to have to do it. With the next pick in the 2025 Bank Bros All-Star Draft. Nailed it. Chocolate Thunder selects at guard Jalen Brunson. From his New York Knicks. No Knicks. Okay. And then, fine. With my next pick, Chocolate Thunder selects Jason Tatum.
I was going to pick him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not a bad pick. So far, I got your starters as SGA, Steph, Tatum, LeBron, Wim.
Yes, sir. I like it.
All right. I still need one.
You do.
You know what? Give me the reigning MVP. Oh. With the one, my sixth selection of the 2025 Bank Bros NBA All-Star Draft, Rizzi Snipem selects the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, I was looking at him. I'm like, his lazy ass ain't gonna play an All-Star game.
Hey, man.
I mean, he might
play with international players. He's playing against the U.S., so he might play well. He was destroying the U.S. in the fucking Olympics.
He was. That's the Olympics. That's the All-Star game. He's going to go home to those ponies.
He'll give a fuck.
He's thinking about his couch. That's what I was like, I can't
pick him. He's thinking of his horses.
That's right. That's all he wants to do.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right. So I got two bench spots left. We both got two bench spots left. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's a guards game.
Here you go again.
It's a guards game. I got to pick another guard, man. With my seventh selection of the 2025 NBA Bank Bros All-Star Draft, Rizzi Snipem selects former number one overall pick out of the University of Duke, the one and only Kyrie Irving.
Interesting. Didn't he just get named too?
Yep, over Anthony Davis, his teammate.
Interesting. Okay. I'm not bad about it. Not at all. Because you're right. It is a guards game. And I have two picks to go, two bench spots. And they're both going to be guards. With the next pick,
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's going to be Jaylen Brown. Of course it's going to be Jaylen Brown. Oh, my God.
I know who the next one is, but I'll let
who's you know. The next one? No, I want you to know. Who's the next one? I want to see if you know it.
Man, you know, I was honestly going to guess Harden, but it's not. This is going to be a young player.
Oh, okay.
This player is a teammate of one of your players.
I swear to God.
It's Jalen Williams.
It's Jalen Williams, bro. Damn, predictable.
I didn't even write those dudes on my draft board. I knew you were going to pick them.
Oh, man. God, love those Thunder players, bro. Oh, my God.
I ain't mad at you. He's a baller. He's
really hell yeah. Oh, dude had it. He had it figured out right away. That's fucking crazy. But I stand by it. Especially the rest of these names on here. Yo, I would never pick Harden. I'm not a Harden guy. I don't care what y'all say.
Yeah, no, I knew you weren't going to pick Harden. I knew, see, like, your mind, you think, okay, who's the veteran? And you're like, okay, do I like that veteran? Fuck that guy. I'm going young.
Exactly, yes. I was balancing between Jalen Williams and Jaren Jackson. But I like what the Thunder are doing overall. So, but Jaren Jackson, I'm actually a big fan of, too.
And I ain't mad at you. I'm taking a guard every single time, too.
See? Yeah, he got one left.
Yeah, you got one left too. Oh no, you're
nope.
You're
full team up. Score. Yep.
Surprise! I'm gonna pick a guard.
Surprise!
I'm gonna pick with my last pick in the 2025 Bank Bros NBA All Star Draft. Rizzi Snipem selects from the Atlanta Hawks. Ice Trae Young, who should have been an all-star the first time around over bitch-ass Tyler Hero. And you know who else should have been an all-star and who I would have drafted? Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, I don't get how he's not on here. What the fuck?
Oh, Tyler Hero?
Yeah, what?
Turn this TV off. Turn this TV off.
Yes, exactly. Especially without Butler now. You think Tyler Hero's still that guy? I'm sorry, no. But, yeah, no. When it comes to all-stars, Maxey's the guy. So, that's a weird choice. But Trae Young is not a weird choice. I respect the hell out of that one. So, hey. We'll see how this goes. I'm interested.
I'll quickly recap the teams for us as Before we it. Lock in these shot bets. Chocolate Thunder, starting point guard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
My man.
Stephen Curry at the start. Jason Tatum forward. LeBron James forward. Wemby center. Brunson sixth man. Jaylen Brown role player. Jalen Williams. Now with Grizzly sniping, we got Kay Cunningham at the point guard spot. Ant-Man at the two. KD at the three. Cat at the four. Yoke at the five. And then I got Damian Lillard as my sixth man. Kyrie Irving as a role player. And Ice Trae Young as another. We're going to lock in these shot bets. Catch us next week. Going to take more.
Oof. And I just spoke to the wife right before we started the show, and we're both like, you know what? I think this year we're going to stop drinking so fucking much. We said, yeah. And then I just made a shot bet that could easily end up with me taking eight fucking shots right to the liver. I'm feeling confident. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's going to be a great matchup. So.
And whoever thinks we have the better team.
Damn, a bonus shot?
A bonus shot. But then if we get the interactions.
If we get the interactions. We'll throw it out there. Hopefully y'all hear this and y'all start giving us some of that feedback we want to hear so badly. But yeah, let us know what you think. Look at both teams. Take away the bias that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about when it comes to the NBA. And he does, but I'm feeling good. I went with some stars.
You picked a lot of great players.
I think I have a very solid lineup here. And the All-Star game is going to be great just because of that. Not because of the actual fucking game, but because of this fucking bet. So make sure y'all come back, like my man said. With that. You know what time it is. It's that 2-minute drill. Hit it.
Man, you know what? I'll be honest. The 2-minute drill, I did not prepare for today because I thought we had a lot of meat and potatoes going on already.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I didn't prepare a 2-minute drill, but, you know, I just wanted to say, man, I appreciate you.
Me?
Yes, you, my black brother right there, right in front, right across the
street. Hey.
You know, it's not too often that you come across people who, like, genuinely vibe with. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to let you know. Like I said, ain't that many
people. Hey, I appreciate that. That's a great 2-minute drill.
I'm
going to pour it up for me. I mean, the feeling is absolutely mutual, sir. Again, especially the older you get. I'm turning 40 this year. You know, my friend circle has gotten so small. The trust circle is small. But that's exactly how I want it. And the fact that you're in that circle and that we've created this kind of show and it's a great outlet for our creativity and just our bullshit that we like to spew out, you know, yes, the feeling is very mutual. I appreciate you as well. So it gives me a reason to not talk my wife's ear off about sports that she doesn't give a shit about every fucking week or when something fucking crazy happens. I got a guy I can talk to about that shit. So it's the love is very reciprocated, sir. I appreciate you very much.
Yes, sir, man. I can relate to that. I hold all of my sports thoughts
right
until the show.
Yes.
I know no matter who I talk to, they're probably not going to like get it. So
right. You're like, whatever. It's, like, I'm going to sound crazy.
I'll never talk to them.
And for me, I'm like, shit, I'll say some shit. I'm like, whoa, that's a really good thought. And I look around and I'm like, no one's even going to give a shit about that thought. Like, okay,
facts.
I'm just going to log that in for something. I'll wait for the show or something, just launch it out there and see if it hits or something. So,
facts.
Yeah, I know how that fucking goes. But that's all right, because we want our fans to feel the same way about us. If you have a small trust circle, the Bank Bro should be part of that. That's what we do. We're here for you, as we always like to say. So the way you can show that appreciation and build that trust and love with us is looking at all the great content we have on all of our socials. That's at the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, Red Note, and TikTok. The TikTok is fucking hot and spicy. Don't miss that shit. Make sure you follow along with us and check out all the clips that this man has been pumping out. Pause, just to make sure that you guys have spicy content whenever you need it. Doesn't matter what the event is. So we have that for you. And we're going to keep on grinding it out. It's a lot of innuendo tonight, but I'm going to stick with it. Because that's what y'all love. Every time you come back to it, you're like, man, What else can I say? It's going to sound like a dick joke when I don't mean it to sound like a dick joke. That's what's part of the fun, people. Make sure you guys come back next week and see us. We'll have shot bets galore. Pray for my soul and my liver because we don't know how this is going to go, but it's going to be a great time. And hopefully you guys, in the meantime, look up some Kendrick lyrics, put on some fucking headphones, vibe the fuck out, and listen to the brother. The man's got an album called Damn right behind Rizzy's head. Start with that one. If you don't want to listen to any other one,
no,
with that one.
Start with the first one.
Of course they should. But that's a long journey, and I just want people to get a little taste, then go back and listen to the entire fucking catalog,
okay,
as you should.
Fair, because the attention span of the normal American is pretty fucking short.
Exactly. So if you're going to have 10 seconds to listen to it, it might as well be Damn. And then come back and let us know how right we are that halftime show was incredible with an incredible
Because it's
going to
make you say, damn.
Damn. That's the whole point. And then after that, come back to the Bank Bros, hit that play button, and see us again. You know why? Because the Bank Bros are in your city, here for you as we always are, and you can bank on it. Kalina, hit that fucking music.
And fuck you.
There it is. She almost had a whole episode of you going off on her.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Bank Bros. Knock, knock.